Welcome to Nutrition From Me on UK Health Radio, your global feel-good radio. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. We've teamed up to provide UK Health Radio listeners with 15% off their range, so you can try it for yourself. Just go to reviveactive.com and use Radio15 to see what feeling super is all about. I'm Dora Walsh, nutritionist and functional medicine practitioner, supporting you to overcome your health problems, such as chronic fatigue, skin concerns, digestive problems, obesity, out-of-control cravings, and much more. You can find out more about me on my website, NutriHeal.net, as well as Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and Twitter. Well, this week, we're going to be talking about how to support gut health. The gut breaks down the foods we eat and absorbs the nutrients that support our body's function. The importance of the gut to our overall health is a topic of increasing research in the medical community. Research is showing us that our gut microbiome, i.e. the bacteria in our gut, can affect every organ of our body. The gut microbiome is command central for several essential roles. It defends against infection and digests nutrients that are otherwise indigestible. A healthy gut includes a good balance of bacteria or microbes in your gastrointestinal tract. And these microbes help the body in many ways. Like I mentioned, they obtain energy from the food that you eat, they get rid of toxins, they fight harmful viruses and bacteria, and even produce the mood-boosting brain chemical serotonin. You may have experienced some of the usual signs of compromised gut health, like IBS, constipation, diarrhea, heartburn, or bloating. However, there are also other signs, and if there's no other medical cause, these signs may be related to an unhealthy gut. Things like autoimmune problems, such as thyroid issues, rheumatoid arthritis and type 1 diabetes, sleep issues, skin rashes and allergies, sugar craving, as well as unexplained fatigue or sluggishness. Here to share their wisdom are Liz Rutherford and Freddie Rostron, founders of IG Bioscience. You can find out more about their company on their website, igbioscience.co.uk, and also follow them on Twitter at igbioscience. Liz and Freddie, welcome to the show. Thank you for being here this week.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. What a wonderful introduction as well. Thank you. Gut health affects everything.
It does. And it's great to get this message out there, because I think a lot of our listeners today will see the topic of gut health and they'll think, oh, well, you know, I have poor digestion or diarrhea or constipation, but they might not realize that some of their other symptoms would be related to gut health. So it's really important that we're bringing this message to our listeners today. I contacted you to come on the show because I'd read about your story. It was an inspirational story. Our listeners to learn about your experience in gut health and how you've helped yourself to support your gut and reverse different health conditions. Tell us, before we go into our interview on the importance of gut health and how we can support our gut health, tell us how you came to be an expert in this area.
Well, that's very kind of you. It's all trial and error and being terribly ill, actually, and wanting to get better. A little bit of luck, but I'll give you the details. I had bronchial neuritis, which is you lose the sight in both sides or one eye. So it's quite dramatic. I was in my mid-20s, and I was by my father, who actually had multiple sclerosis, to go and see an optician straight away. And the optician said, oh my God, get up to Moorfield Eye Hospital right now. And they there diagnosed optic neuritis, which is very often the first sign of multiple sclerosis. Multiple sclerosis equals multiple sclerotic attack. And very often the eyes are the first thing to go. So they gave me steroids, but they said, you can take those once and that's it. And then they said, I said, what should I do? And they said, no, don't get tired. Try not to get overstrained. So I thought, great. And carried on with my BBC job, which was a bit stressful, and had a terrible attack about 3 years later and was bedridden, couldn't get up, couldn't move my head, therefore couldn't eat and got very weak. And that left me with some damage on my left side, my eyes and my legs. I still get something called drop foot. But otherwise, I recovered and gave up work about 4 years later and started a family. But That's what happened to me. I felt I kept it as my guilty secret because there was no help in those days. The MDMs weren't very advanced and I just tried not to get hired. These are very sensible words from my father. And here I am today.
That must have been a real shock to you.
Oh, it was dreadful. Can you imagine being in your mid-20s? You've got your career ahead of you and your the rest of your life. So yes, it was. And the DMDs weren't very developed then. And I thought there was no help. So rolling forward, I mean, I managed, I've got a wonderful family, wonderful friends, and I've been lucky. But scrolling forward, we met an Australian journalist who happened to be over here, the Journalist Network, who seemed tied up and chatted. And he suddenly revealed that he had a terrible, terrible time. His beautiful ballerina wife had developed multiple sclerosis and actually went into a wheelchair. He tried absolutely everything all over the globe, anything to help her. There was nothing except he found colostrum. And he said to me, Liz, you have to take this health supplement. And the rest is history, really. That's why we set the company up.
What is colostrum, Liz?
Well, colostrum is a very good question. I think probably all mothers really know. It's the very yellowy substance you get at the beginning of breastfeeding. It's the first milk. It's pre-milk, if you like. And it's Mother Nature provides it for all of us, a wonderful gift, been going for millennia, and it almost kickstarts your immune system. We're born with it, if you like, a blueprint of immune system, but it has to be started. It's like my husband Freddie always compares it to a computer, like you got the software, but you need to turn it on. The colostrum makes your immune system, your immunity work, and then hopefully Mother Nature hopes you can reach adulthood. And that's what colostrum is.
And how long did you take it before you started feeling a difference?
Oh, well, that's quite incredible because, if I may say that, I digress a bit, but my father had multiple sclerosis as well. And he was a very stiff upper lip character, you know, pre-World War II sort of person. And he was never particularly emotional about anything, but we took it at the same time. He said, Liz, if you try it, then I'll try it. And he rang me after a couple of days and he said, Liz, I can't believe it. I just feel better because he was very bad. He wasn't quite in a wheelchair, but he was bad. So, and I felt within 2 days better. It balances all your hormones. It's wonderful for mental health. It's just the most wonderful. You think of the baby suckling at the breast. The baby's screaming because it's hungry and it wants mother's milk. And then it drinks. And what does the baby do? Fall into a deep slumber, happy, smiley baby. So that's what colostrum does. It had natural, wonderful sedatives in it. And then gradually I kept taking it because how long's the piece of string? What do you do? But I think I'm getting better even now. I've been taking it for 5 or 6 years. It builds up all your immune system. It boosts your stem cell growth. It balances your hormones. And it just basically makes your body work properly again if a small part of it has been damaged, which is affecting everything else in your body.
And we're talking about gut health today. I presume the benefits of the colostrum are down to the way it's supporting the gut bacteria. Is that correct?
Yes, it is. There was a research paper was published in the Autoimmune Review in 2015. And this has found a link between the increase in autoimmune diseases with the expansion of industrial food processing and food additives. Isn't that interesting? Yes. So what they've found is that the very tightly packed epithelial cells in our gut, which prevent pathogens crossing over into our bodies, are being damaged by food additives. Now, I think to anyone listening, or perhaps who's had gut problems, they would probably call that leaky gut. That's the general term when you're talking about gut problems. And it just means that there's damage in the gaps, in the cells, the lining, in our gut lining, and it allows the pathogens or half-digested food, antigens and so forth, to get into our bloodstream. And that, the paper states, that's a quote here, the paper states that this tight junction of dysfunction, I love that, tight junction of dysfunction, it's called, is a common feature of autoimmune diseases.
Yeah, so I can see how with the colostrum, it's supporting that gut lining by the sounds of it, and that is, it's sealing the gut, it's preventing the movement of those pathogens through the gut lining. And those pathogens, those toxins, those undigested food particles are what can set off this immune cascade.
Yes, and
potentially triggers immune conditions, autoimmune conditions, it is believed.
Well, yes, I'll talk a little bit about that, because but then I'd really like to hand over to Freddie, who really is a scientist, and he can talk in great detail about that, because the link's quite incredible. But autoimmune disease, yes, that's an umbrella term, and it means autoimmune body attacking itself. So basically getting back to that gut lining, the body gets a bit confused. If you've got an autoimmune disease, you've probably got a system that can't quite detect the pathogen that's bad for you, or perhaps just normal digesting food particles. So the body, the immune system, then attacks those particles, thinking they're the enemy, and perhaps they're not. So I think that does that explain autoimmune? And that's why the symptoms are really just the little bit of the body had been affected. So with me, where it's affected is my brain's messaging system down to my nerves to tell it what to do has been damaged. They talk a lot about the myelin sheath and that being damaged. But when something gets damaged, I therefore, in my case, I might not be able to walk properly, or I might not be able to see properly. But with somebody else, perhaps with colitis or Crohn's disease, they're getting a different symptom, but it's the same cause. And I'd really like to hand over to Freddie, if I may, on that, because the science is fascinating. May I pop in to Freddie?
Yes, definitely. Freddie, tell us, what are your thoughts on this?
So let's rewind to Hippocrates, who is perhaps wiser than we realise, and his phrase, I think it was 400 odd years BC, said, "All diseases begin in the gut." And here we are, thousands of years later, we're echoing the scientific community. Speak quite a bit of truth in that. And it's really shaken things up, because what they're finding is it is the microbiome. And the microbiome, utterly phenomenal. It's kind of a mystery world. You know, they're not a human cell. These aren't human cells, the interior. They control everything. They affect everything in our body. Now, what's interesting is where colostrum is very significant, because that microbiome is the immune system. They affect sort of immune and your antibody. So the thing is with colostrum, it's got vitamins, minerals, amino acids, if you like many other supplements and substances, but it's also got ingredients that are found nowhere else in nature. Nowhere else has antibodies, and it has hormones. It's an absolutely unique substance. And this is why, you know, we talk about breastfeeding being so important and so forth. And it has prebiotic, probiotic, adds antibody, the immunoglobulin, which basically you can translate that as antibody, if you like. It has an abundance of those, of lactoferrin and cytokines, all part of the immune system. Now, what's important, microbe stays healthy, and why colostrum helps, is that the immune cells in our gut, and remember the gut represents about 80% of our immune system. Now, the immune cells in the gut, they interact with the microbiome, and so the diverse amount of bacteria and fungi that live in our gastrointestinal tract are directly influenced by our diet and lifestyle. So the food we eat affects the diversity and the composition of the bacteria in the gut, which in turn affects the immune cells. So you can see the scale, how this works on the computer for me. This is critical. So you can start to see the link. And now very interesting things with going on in our gut, because what would have been thought unthinkable years ago in the scientific community is that they're beginning to realize the gut actually affects our brain. It affects our mood. Now, it isn't actually surprising, because the gut is directly by the brain and vice versa, and connected via the vagus nerve. You know, when we're stressed out, we can feel this knot in our gut, you know, where you feel gutted, or I've got a gut feeling, and so forth. So there's an absolute link between gut and the brain, and it's often referred to as the second brain. So this is quite dramatic. And they found now in a number of type depression that parts of the biome are missing. A connection between the makeup of the people's biome and the sort of mental anxiety or depression they suffer. So there does seem to be a direct causal link between our gut and our mental health. This is really critical. This is pretty new stuff. You know, the world is waking up to what Hippocrates said thousands of years ago. And this incredible interrelation between the microbiome, epithelial layer, Liz was talking about, the gut lining, the little cells in the gut lining, and also the mucosal immune barrier lines our gut, is also part of the immune system. And now the bacteria in our gut, if they don't get what they need, food they need. They start eating the mucosal lining. So that starts to cause an immune reaction. It starts to create gaps, again, for antigen, pathogen to get into our blood. And so there's an incredibly complex relationship between all these different elements of our gut. And the colostrum, absolutely vital, because it rebalances all of that. As I said, the prebiotics, the probiotics, it has PRPs, proline-rich polypeptide, that don't get to too much time. They set up the instructions for the immune and get the immune system working as it should. You must remember with the immune system that it's got a number of things to do. It has to be awake and know when there's a pathogen or a foreign body in the blood. It then has to have a trigger to, right, we've got to fire off the killer cells and we've got to deal with it. Two parts. And then the third part here, once it dealt with the pathogen, with the bad, it's got to turn itself off. And the complicated sort of series of instructions get damaged as we get older. All the various elements that make up the immune system degrade as we get older, quite normally. That's absolutely normal. But also, it's damaged by various foods. And as Liz was saying earlier, you know, by processed foods. Ultra-processed foods. I mean, you know, they're killers. It's dreadful stuff for what it does for your body. And the autoimmune disorder, of course, is where the body's attacking itself because the immune system doesn't know how to turn itself off. And the colostrum, which, you know, why we started this business and it's been so good for Liz, it doesn't cure multiple sclerosis. It's important to say that. But what it does do is alleviate and stop generally most of the symptoms. So it can be quite life-changing. And certainly for many of our clients, it is life-changing for people with autoimmune disorders.
We're going to be talking a lot more about gut health and everything you've mentioned, especially talking about the food and the supplements that can support us to silence those symptoms and maybe prevent the progression of health problems after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on Nutrition for Me on UK Health Radio. This week we're talking with Liz Rutherford and Freddie Roston, founders of IG Bioscience. And you can find out more about them on their website, igbioscience.co.uk, and also follow them on Twitter as well. Now, you've been giving us a great rundown of the benefits of colostrum in terms of gut health and how it's helped you to support your own autoimmune condition, Liz. Let's go back to how we can support our diet, our gut through our diet. What kind of foods and drinks should we be including? And what should we be avoiding if we want to support ourselves?
That's a really big question, isn't it? Can I preface this by saying I am a real believer in doing what you can within the time you've got and within the money you've got. And I think you can almost get really, really stressed by trying to eat perfectly and do everything perfectly. And I think that's quite damaging in itself. So what I'm talking to an audience, I don't know what constraints they have. So let's just talk about very basic things. I think, first of all, your body tells you what you can and can't eat. So if you get very tired after something, or if you get hiatus hernia, you're going to stop doing it. That's pretty basic. But with the preventative stuff, although we can be so Puritan on ourselves and cut things out, it's so life-affirming and heartening just to sit with friends and eat food and be together and talk and chat. I think don't disregard that. It's important because it's all about mental health as well. Very basic things. Everyone talks about organic. Some people can't afford that. Try and go to a good greengrocer if you can. Supermarket on the whole, try to avoid, but again, time and budget. Perhaps you have to go to supermarket. Wonderful people who have their own allotment, their own farms, wonderful, but most of us haven't. So try and go to grocery things good. Try and go to a butcher that you think's good. You trust the butcher. Most butchers will talk about farms they go to and where they get their meat. Try and use filtered water if you can, but if you can't, you can't. And tea and coffee, that's the big one. to me. I think the jury's really out on it. I think your body will tell you automatically when you're drinking too much coffee or if you should not drink coffee at all. And I think everybody knows you've got to drink water. But what tremendous comfort it can be, that social interaction, especially if someone like me with MS, you know, I mean, if you can, it's not expensive. And if you can go out and have a chat with someone over a cup of coffee, what a wonderful thing. You don't want to cut yourself off too much. There's all sorts of, Freddie's very good on, he doesn't quite make kefir, but he's pickling everything. And that's wonderful, all that prebiotic stuff. So just in general, a big variety of diet, the more vegetables you eat, much better for your gut biome. We've talked about that. So I think just be sensible and do what you can and what you can afford.
How many fruits and vegetables do you think we should be consuming in a week?
Okay, we've got a little bit of scientific information on this. So here we go, over to Freddie.
That's an extremely good question, Dora. And the reason it's a good question is because our gut biome is determined by what we eat. If you eat rubbish, you're going to have a rubbish biome. Now, the thinking is that you need about, in an ideal world, 20 to 30 different types of fruit and vegetables each week to have eaten some or all of those each week. Now, that's incredibly ambitious. Most people be sort of perhaps 10, perhaps 15. But it's fantastic, whatever you can do. So, for example, you know, with the vegetable, you know, let's just look at those as part of what you're eating as part of your daily regimen. So that could be things like chicory, dandelion, Jerusalem artichoke, onions, leeks, asparagus, bananas, oats, apples, avocado. Now, the reason why these are prebiotic and they're so important is they provide essential fiber. They provide the fiber. We all hear about fiber. Well, why? Why? Is it just to push the poo through? Well, no, it's not, actually. The fiber is really important for the healthy bacteria in your gut. And if they don't get the fiber, that's when they will eat other things. And so they will eat the mucosal lining, which, as we mentioned earlier, you know, affects your immune system. It creates gaps for pathogens to get into the blood. That's why fiber is so critical. And I would say, as a yardstick, just try and eat stuff that's fresh. If it's fresh and it's natural and it's not processed, it hasn't got additives or anything like that, wherever you can get that from, be it a supermarket or a greengrocer or a butcher or whatever, that really is probably the bottom line. Just try and eat natural food. And this is why, perhaps, you know, the Mediterranean diet,
we're very big on the Mediterranean.
I'm half, you know, my father's from Marseille, and I grew up with our family business importing French foods, starting in the 70s, trying to teach the English how to eat natural food. And, you know, it was a hell of an uphill struggle. You know, it took an awful long time. Now, our food, our cuisine culture is so much better than it used to be. But that thing of natural, freshly cooked food, you just can't go wrong. And olive oil, of course, is one of the very, very best oils you could ever have. You know, so just keep it natural and keep it real. That's I think, is probably the best guideline, I think, a catch-all guideline we can offer.
And I'm always the softer voice of reason because people buy my colostrum and we give tips on how to take that. And I leave it an hour, perhaps, before or after eating or drinking anything else. And some people would say, no, I've got to go to work and I can't do that. So I'm a great believer in it. Just do what fits your lifestyle, because then you'll keep doing it. And I think once you've decided a positive course of action and something that you can afford and you can do, you can keep it going. If you get too ambitious, if you say, right, I'm going to eat 80 different fruits and vegetables this week, you'll never keep it up. So in the end, that's a negative. So I think, I do believe in balance and tailoring things to your lifestyle.
Are there any drinks that we should be drinking and avoiding? You mentioned not necessarily cutting out coffee or tea, but you also mentioned that Freddie sometimes makes kefir. That's something to incorporate in our diet on a regular basis.
Well, yeah, kefir is absolutely wonderful. Sorry to go on about the colostrum again. The colostrum is probiotic and prebiotic. Kefir is, a probiotic, but it is a wonderful thing, but it's not the only thing. So, yes, I do recommend it, but again, just keep researching, keep reading, keep looking for natural.
Just for our listeners to understand, when they hear the word prebiotic, you're referring to the food that the bacteria live on. So the bacteria have a diet, don't they? And Freddie, you mentioned that the bacteria in the gut, they need to have the right foods in order to thrive. So if you have the right food, the right substrate, then you have the right bacteria that's going to grow in your gut. And if your food's not good, then you proliferate bad bacteria, and that can lead to many health problems. So you're referring to prebiotic is the fiber that good bacteria live on.
That's very absolutely correct. Yeah, that's why fiber is so important. And it was, you know, a good source of all those vegetables and salads I was talking about earlier, you know, dandelion or rocket, we call it here, don't we, in this country, onion, leeks, asparagus, etc., bananas, oats, all those kind of things that are very good to help healthy bacteria grow in our gut. Following on from that, yes, kefir and probiotic. And that provides the microorganism that promote the good bacteria in our gut. So, for example, yes, you mentioned kefir, yogurts, miso, for example, kimchi, sauerkraut, anything fermented. Oh my goodness, just manna from heaven for your gut. You know, pickle, all those kind of things, fantastic. And yes, kefir, we hear about the various bacteria that added to supplement to kefir, like lactobifidobacterium acidophilus. These things are all absolutely fantastic for your gut. So again, it's a balance. There's no silver bullet. Don't ever think there's a silver bullet. It's an incredible interaction between so many different factors, between our lifestyle, between our mental state, between what we eat and how we treat our gut. And whenever we're talking about food, we're talking health, we're talking illness. It's very interesting when you look back through history, or even today, you know, Persian cuisine, Indian cuisine is all about food as a medicine, as well as a pleasure, as a life-sustaining pleasure. It has medicinal properties. You know, for example, turmeric, obviously the Indian cuisine has by the bucket load, and it's fantastic because it goes with fat. So you need the fat with turmeric to get it into your body, to cross the blood-gut barrier.
I'm so glad you talked about turmeric, because I was going to ask you about whether you thought spices could hinder or help our health, because some people, they don't like spice, some people do, and some people think it's good, and sometimes people think it's detrimental to gut health. What are your thoughts on spices and things like turmeric?
I think with, I'll just, again, Fred's the expert, but I think with turmeric, I think heat with turmeric is very good. I mean, that's why the Indian, it's very spicy hot food. You know, you do need that to break it down. And another supplement that we do, I don't want to bang on about, but it is actually a turmeric colostrum mix with bioperin, which basically is black pepper, so spice. And that really increases bioavailability, and the fat in the colostrum protects the turmeric on its long, long journey down to your lower intestine. So I think I'm going to go to the expert, spice, Freddy. What do you think?
I think spices are generally very beneficial. They're relying on cayenne pepper now has sort of medicinal properties. Turmeric has medicinal properties, obviously, and that's not a spicy, just a very strong flavor, I would say. But that's me, isn't it? Just step back a moment, because for our health, we're in a culture where we've been completely medicalized. That, and we find this with colostrum, we have to educate people to be able to, so they can understand what it is and why it works. And the biggest barrier is, it's not from a man in a white coat that I have to go to the chemist and get on a bottle with a label on it. It can't be any good, not a proper medical thing. Well, now we're starting to realize complementary medicine is actually huge. They talk about the rainforest. Oh, we don't want to lose all those potential medicines in those plants. Where do medicines come from? They come from nature. You know, not in a laboratory, yes, some are, or from a botany, but nature has an incredible amount of therapeutic medicine in its armory. And again, colostrum, turmeric are part of that armory that for thousands of years, human beings, cultures of all sorts have known about. Colostrum has been worshipped even by the ancient Egyptians. You know, colostrum is a huge deal. It's a very much a life-giving a substance. See, it is unique. So, you know, we have to get out this idea that only things in a bottle from a laboratory prescribed by a man or a doctor or a woman in a white coat, you know, that it's not the case. Nature has an immense amount to offer. And turmeric is a peculiarly potent, very well studied now. And there's a huge amount of evidence backing up turmeric, as there is with colostrum, that it is a medicinal herb. It has extraordinary medicinal properties.
We're going to be talking a lot more about gut health with Liz Rutherford and Freddie Ruston, founders of igbioscience.co.uk, after a few messages from our commercial partners.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Dora Walsh on UK Health Radio on my weekly show, Nutrition for Me. I'm speaking with Liz Rutherford and Freddie Rostron, founders of IG Bioscience. You can find out more about them and their colostrum and turmeric on their website, igbioscience.co.uk. Now, Liz and Freddie, we were talking about probiotics. What are probiotics? And there's a big fuss around probiotics and gut health. But what are...
Very good question.
What do we need to know about them? Should we be taking them?
Yes, we should be taking them. And we should be taking them along with many other things. Prebiotics, good food, healthy food as well, with a lot of things. Basically, probiotics, they're live microorganisms. And these live microorganisms promote the good bacteria in our body. They love them. So this is why with probiotics, for example, you find added to yogurts, you know, with kefir and other things, they always highlight, you know, contains bifidobacterium, lactobacillus, acidophilus. These are tremendously good things for you, but they're not a silver bullet. As I said before, you know, there is no such thing as a silver bullet. It's a wide range of lifestyle choices that we have to make. One of the great sources, probiotic, of those microorganisms is fermented food. Absolutely. If you can just have some pickles, have some kimchi, which is, you know, that's a spicy acquired taste, I do admit, not suitable for everyone. But again, kefir and miso and yogurt, all great sources of this food. These are live microorganisms, live bacteria, and our microbiome just laps them up. And if we have a healthy microbiome, it can change your life. And our microbiome responds so quickly to the sorts of food we eat. We are what we eat, as the saying goes. And nowadays, the science is beginning to say, oh, yes, actually, that seems to be quite true. So this is why probiotics, you know, are such a good thing. And we would always highly recommend people have a good dose of them as part of their diet.
Should they be having them as a supplement, or do you recommend from the foods that you've mentioned?
Well, I think it's a mixture of both, isn't it? It depends on your diet. Personally, Liz and I, we eat a very healthy French Mediterranean diet, which is what I grew up on. I love cooking. I love food. Yes, if having spent half my life in France, how could one not? But that may not be possible for everyone. So supplements can be a part of that. But certainly, yes, try and take them every day or as often as you can. In terms of supplements, I take colostrum. I mean, I saw what an extraordinary effect colostrum had on Liz and her MS. And I just thought, blimey, I've got to have some. You know, I want to take it. And interesting, in the Southern Hemisphere, which is, you know, how we discovered it from an Australian journalist friend of ours. It's huge, colostrum, absolutely huge, because they don't have sort of institutionalized medicine like we do. And it is seen as a daily health supplement. And, you know, it does make you feel disgustingly healthy all the time. It resets your body. It's like the operating instruction, the operating system for computers, as Liz spoke about early. And so it resets all our body's biological processes. It has something like over 80 different compounds in it that are all part of the regulation of our body and how it functions. And that's why, you know, I take it, and it's completely natural. Don't forget, it's non-toxic. It's completely natural. It's got all the amino acids, vitamins, minerals, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, these sorts of natural supplements, yes, they can make a real difference. But your diet will always be, I think, front and center of your health, of your microbiome.
I'll mention your company, Liz and Freddie, in case anybody wants to find out more about the colostrum and the turmeric and read about it and maybe order some. It's igbioscience.co.uk, and they can go on there and find out more about the colostrum if they didn't know what it was. I mean, some people do, some people don't. They don't make the connection between that and colostrum, etc. So, yeah, it would be good for them to have a read and find out more.
Yes, that's right, Dora. That would be lovely. Ken, I mean, there's a film on there. There's films on there, scientific papers, testimonials. It'll give you so much information on colostrum and what it is. And we have one for pets as well, because it's brilliant for pets too. But that's another story.
People love their pets. I think they spend more on
their pets. They really do. Oh, they really do.
Yes. So I think that it's a good way forward. Now, we talked a lot about the foods. We talked about probiotics, colostrum, turmeric, and how we can incorporate these things into our daily diet. But what about the lifestyle strategies that can make a real difference to our gut health? What should we be doing to support our digestion and our microbiome?
Listen to your body, because your body is a wonderful thing. It's been very proven how important exercise is. And a lot of exercise also, there'll probably be social interaction with people, even just with your class and your teacher app. And that's incredibly, again, proven that it's incredibly important for mental health. I've got Dr. Sun, and he really says the whole time, please don't smoke or drink, which I know you know. I'm repeating the obvious, but he really says, if you can give up anything, give up smoking, and please be careful about your alcohol intake. And I think what I did want to just go back to the turmeric with that, because mental health is such a huge thing at the moment, isn't it? And especially maybe for young people. And I've had some amazing testimonials. It is the product, the turmeric mixed with the colostrum. But I've, you know, had a mother who's very sadly, her daughter died. Nothing worked. The Valium didn't work. The doctor's stuff didn't work. But our Colocure, which is colostrum and turmeric, it really did balance her hormones, but balance everything. And at last, we could rest and relax.
Can I just dive in here for a moment? Adora, with the following on what Liz says, with the both the turmeric and the colostrum, both have one of the many effects they have, because they both have many effects, which it's hard for people to grasp. They think a pill does one thing and that's it. Well, no, it's not. It's different from that. Both the turmeric and the colostrum promotes production of what are called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factors. These are, if you like, feel-good chemicals that your brain produces, and our neurons, right throughout our life, they do still grow, they still multiply, and they can increase in number. And the BDNF has a strong role in memory, in learning, and it also works in the area of the brain responsible for eating, drinking, and body weight. And a lot of brain disorders have been linked to a decreased level of BDNF protein. So it's an incredibly important effect it has. And this lady, Catherine Johnston, who takes our turmeric, it was the only thing that helped to deal with her grief. She tried all the medical antidepressants, diazepam, and so forth and so forth. And this was the only thing she found that actually, oh my God, I started to feel better, was able to sleep. And it's one of the many common elements of feedback we get from all our clients is, regardless of everything else, to their various symptoms or conditions, I just feel so much better. I just feel happy. I feel more confident. I've got more energy. And so this is all part of it. It's all part of a holistic treatment for our bodies and for our lifestyle, because everything, as we said earlier, you know, with the microbiome, everything is interconnected in our body, absolutely everything.
It's been wonderful talking with you both this week, and I really do appreciate you coming on the show. Listeners, I really hope you've enjoyed listening to the show as much as I've enjoyed presenting it. Today's show is brought to you in association with Revive Active, our show sponsor, Ireland's number one super supplement brand. Enjoy Revive Active's range of super supplements and feel great. We've teamed up with UK Health Radio listeners to provide them with 15% off their supplement. Just type in Radio15 at the checkout and see what Feeling Super is all about. Until then, thank you and goodbye.